Hello, this is Debbie Gagish of the Pedowitz Group, and welcome to the Demand Generation Essential Series. We always like to start the show with AC/DC Back in Black, because what this series is really all about is creating demand generation superstars. So every week for the last 12 weeks, we interview a thought leader, a real practitioner, around one of the 12 demand generation essential topics. Today's interview is 12 of 12, and it is on the single hottest topic in marketing today, and that is monetizing social media. Our guest today is Jeff Pedowitz of the Pedowitz Group, who is at the forefront of using this technology to really monetize social media. So before we get into the interview with Jeff, let me tell you a little bit about him. Jeff has 20 years' experience in leading B2B and B2C organizations to truly outstanding results in both increasing revenue and also lowering cost. Jeff is the founder and CEO of the Pedowitz Group, where he is responsible for setting the vision and also the strategic direction. Again, Jeff is a true innovator in this space and a thought leader. He's my partner. And Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Debbie.
I'm so excited about this interview because I know that you have been doing a lot of work in social media, really being out there on the forefront. And it's not just about the bright and shiny toy, because we see marketers going after pieces of social media like it's the next big toy. You know, what you're really doing is finding a way to really monetize that. So why don't you tell us how the B2B marketers are using social media to drive demand? What are you seeing?
Sure. Well, first of all, I just want to say that I'm in San Francisco, which I think is the hub of demand generation. If you look at probably the 2,500, 3,000 companies worldwide that are really doing cutting-edge things with demand generation, marketing automation, about half of them are here. So it's a pretty exciting place to do the interview from. And social media has been obviously on the forefront of everybody's mind. It's been up until last year, maybe a curiosity. I remember last year when we were speaking at the Online Marketing Summit, people asked us about Twitter and Facebook and how people were using it. At that time, people were still saying, hey, I'm breathing in my backyard. But that's really quickly changed. Starting off at the top of this year, B2B marketers in particular really started to engage with Twitter in particular and with Facebook. So they're doing things where just even talking about upcoming events or putting in tiny URLs that point people back to landing pages. They're doing specific offers. And if you think about it, Twitter and Facebook in and of themselves, if you have followers on Twitter, if you have friends on Facebook, that's another list, just like you have an email list, just like you have a direct mail list. And the nice thing about both Twitter and Facebook is they're all opt-in. So for starters, you're already doing better than you ever did with email because people have to give you permission to join. And the second great thing about Twitter in particular is it forces us as marketers with only 140 characters to be brief and succinct. So we really have to get hit it hard with that content. Right? When's the last time you drove by a billboard on the highway that had paragraphs and paragraphs? You didn't. So using Twitter intelligently with very specific content, calls to action, and landing pages, those are some of the early ways that these marketers are doing to be successful.
So how are you seeing people, because, you know, again, people, again, I agree, last year we saw people talking about it, but there was not the buzz around social media that there is this year. And we're finally beginning to hear anecdotal stories and anecdotal evidence of how the B2B marketers are actually monetizing social media. So what have you seen as ways that people are specifically measuring the impact of their social media efforts in monetary terms?
Well, one of the things that you can do is if you are tracking the number of followers someone has, if you're a big believer in the net promoter concept, which measures customer loyalty against revenue growth. So it basically says if you have a bunch of people out there that are advocates promoting your business and that percentage of people outweighs your detractors, then your chances of long-term sustainable profitable growth for your company are very good. So if you are reaching people on Twitter or Facebook that have a large number of friends and you're using the APIs of both to pull back that data and you're bringing that back into your CRM system, that's another data point. Just like a marketer would capture a lead source or campaign ID, you can actually see if there's a correlation with someone that tweets a lot or has a large following or has a large following on Facebook and the amount of revenue that they're impacting on your organization. So that really is a social media score. That's showing an indicator of how active somebody is against that. So the second thing that people are starting to get smart about is what happens if people never visit your website, or if you're never able to send out an email. But these people are still talking about you. That's going on all the time now. So it's a complete evolution of the buy cycle. The internet has completely democratized the sales process. So if you're the sales guy, you're the marketing guy, what are you to do if no one ever comes to your site? So you have to use social media. You have to be able to capture it. Now, all these sites have API feeds, and so they can give them to you in a fire hose, if you will. But then you have to turn to vendors that can really understand what to do with that data, harness it in a database, and that becomes lead sources just like any other place.
Now, the thing that I really latched on to in that particular description was to harness it in a database, because what we've seen across, as we take a look at marketers, is that they're playing, they're experimenting, they're getting comfortable, and they also are looking at where their prospects and where their clients are and how those people want to be communicated with. But it seems to me like the next generation is to, okay, you're listening and you're part of the conversation, but how can you automate? For example, you know, the reason people buy marketing automation systems is so that they can automate a relationship. So where do you see that heading with social media?
Well, clearly that's starting to happen, where it's listening and is not just enough. And a lot of us have TweetDeck or TweetDeep, or we get Google alerts on different topics that we're following. But then in all those cases, we have to sit by our desktop, watch that data, and then manually respond to somebody. So if I see someone that's tweeting about a topic of interest, I could either retweet it, or I can ask to follow that person, or I could direct message that somebody, or I could forward it on to somebody in my department. But that becomes quite arduous, because most of us don't have the time to sit in front of our computers all day. But if you're taking that information, go ahead, sorry.
But clearly we have seen in the B2B world, we have seen results, revenue results from that kind of activity. But to your point, it's extremely manual and extremely time consuming.
It is. I mean, certainly you're finding a lot of smart sales reps right now are spending a lot more time mining that data and watching in real time. So if somebody talks about, let's say they're comparing products that they happen to be in that space, they can immediately jump on that and offer their assistance. And so you are seeing success there. But again, difficult to scale and grow. So if you look at the promise of marketing automation and what it really is meant to do, is take a wide variety of everyday marketing tasks that drive revenue and automate them in a sustainable workflow setting. So if you are pulling in information from Twitter and from the blogosphere and from Facebook and LinkedIn, and if it goes into your marketing automation system, well, then you can actually market right back out. So there's a couple ways to do that. Now, if you have someone's Twitter handle, you can tweet back to them if you're watching a specific keyword. So that would be one way that you can automate it. You can do sentiment analysis to see whether someone's angry or happy about you. And then depending upon the message, you can respond with a particular kind of message. If you have somebody's Twitter handle, you can actually use Twitter mail through your marketing automation system. So when you send out an autoresponder, you would send it through Twitter mail, and you can actually send the person an email. You can capture email addresses off of a Twitter feed, and then use that as another parameter. And so if smart marketers are starting to get multiple channels. So once they bring in the Twitter handle, then they try and marry that up with a profile that they already have. Or you'll see things like you're going to start seeing Facebook Connect pop up or single sign-on in next year. And single sign-on replaces the premise that every site has to have a form. I need a separate user ID and a separate password. I mean, I don't know about you, Deb, but I can't even remember half the sites I've
That's
been
right.
to and the password. So what this does is it says, you know what? You don't need to create a new user ID or password. You just press this button, and you give us your Facebook ID and your password. You give us your blogger ID and your password. And we're going to go in and we're going to validate. And if you are who you say you are, then we're going to create an account here with your credentials over there. Now, in the case of Facebook, not only are we going to do that, but a little window is going to pop up, and it's going to say, now you're giving us permission to be able to write on your wall, and you're also giving us permission to have access to your friends. It doesn't give us access to market to your friends, but we have that data. Well, now, of course, as soon as I have your friends' data on Facebook, I can at least send out an auto friend, and many of those people will probably friend me back. Now, once I have that, now I can communicate and automatically market to them. So even if it's in its simple form, same thing with Twitter. If somebody tweets about a keyword, if I'm watching for Petowitz Group or Jeff or Eloqua or Marketo or something else that I might be interested in, I can send out an auto-follow request to that person, and I can grow my follower list. And so even in and of itself, that is very valuable.
So kind of what you're saying is that, you know, for people who have a marketing automation system, social media just becomes another channel like email. And the fact that we can go out, we can gather the data, we can bring it back into the marketing automation database, and just like online digital body language or behavior, we can set up automatic responses to that.
That's exactly right. I mean, look, I'm friends with all the major email vendors, so if they're listening to this, they'll probably get mad at me, but email is just going the way of the dinosaur. I mean, it's never going to go away, but it's going to be like direct mail. And so it's a channel, but it's not going to be the channel like it's been used for the last 10 years. So if you're using an email-centric system or if you bought marketing automation, in either case, you know, you're still using primarily email, but most marketers have been seeing declining rates of return. Now, part of that reason is the way that they're building and growing their list related to permission, which is a separate topic. But part of it is because of the rise of social media. It is just like email replaced direct mail as the channel. Now, social media is taking over and replacing email as the main channel where people communicate and take their time. Additionally, if you look at the 18 to 24 crowd, social media is their number one asset. I mean, half these people don't even have email addresses. So, and these are the people that are coming into the workforce, and these are the people that are going to be making buying decisions. So if you're a marketer, you have to be able to look at these trends and say, you know, we still need to use email. Email will always be valuable. But email is not going to be the be-all and end-all it has been for the last 10 years. We really need to start using social media in addition to that. And let's use the intelligence that we've gathered through marketing automation, the ability to respond, to measure, to tie it to revenue, and we can use social media to monetize it and be more effective.
So this is a little bit of the case, be careful of what you ask for because you'll get it. Because the number one thing we hear from marketers is, how do I monetize social media? How do I get it to create revenue for me? Clearly, the technology is here. It's here right now, today. And yet, I've noticed that whenever we bring up this concept of automatically retweeting or entering into any type of automatic relationship in the social media sphere, people are like, well, I'm not sure we can do that. So what do you think about that conundrum, and how do you think that's going to be solved?
Well, I think it's the same thing that, say, 2 years ago where people were like, well, do we want to do a corporate blog? You know, do we really want to host a blog on our site? What if people say bad things about us? You know, I don't know if we were ready for that. But the reality is people are saying those things. So at least you have a chance to somewhat control the conversation or participate in the conversation. So I think, like all things, if you abuse it and you're just sending out messages for messages' sake, and there's no value in the content, and you're just aimlessly and selfishly trying to grow a list or sell something, then that's not how you use social media. You know, really, you should not be making overt offers all the time through social media. You should be using it to offer key content of value or a game or something that draws people back to a site that then offers more about the product. So if you use it in the right way and you take your time, then you're going to get a lot more results. But clearly, social media is different than these other channels that we've talked about because there's a high level of transparency that's never existed before, which requires the marketer to fundamentally rethink how they're doing things. You know, as you know, on our team, we've purposely gone out and hired at least one person that just got out of college for the reason that we felt that we didn't want to apply all of our traditional business paradigms and skills to social media. We wanted to get someone that grew up in social media and share what they thought this channel should be for business. And I think that's helped shape some very innovative and creative strategies that we may or may not have come up with otherwise.
And I see that in a lot of other companies as well. I know of another graduate, a college graduate, who within her MBA program interned at a Fortune 500 company, said, you know, have you ever thought about doing this with social media? And her program was accepted and adopted, and they tried to hire her because she had come up with the program, but she says it was just so evident because, again, this was her life. This is the way that she lived. So, Jeff, we've talked a lot about Twitter because, again, in the B2B world, this seems to be very hot, and we've also talked about Facebook. What other social media is being used?
Well, I think clearly LinkedIn is a still very valuable tool for business. People do a lot for networking. Unfortunately, the API with LinkedIn and an application perspective hasn't been as progressive or open as maybe some of the other platforms, but they are starting to change that. So I think we're going to start to see a little bit more come out of that. You're also seeing just a lot of vertical communities out there. So there's just a lot of companies that are either building their own social communities or they're going to trade communities or certain social networking sites where people of common interest are coming together. Google Groups, in and of its former Yahoo Groups, this is also a form of social media because it's a place where people congregate online. So people are still using those to share and post information. LinkedIn Groups also. But now that you have the ability to monitor and get these feeds, you can do a few more things. I think RSS is also really starting to climb in adoption, especially in B2B. And now that you have the ability to measure RSS, whereas that didn't exist before, you know, in terms of you didn't know who was following you, and now you can.
What about text?
Well, I think texting will start to be on the rise over the next couple of years. I mean, really, the United States, North America, is probably the only industrialized country worldwide that hasn't truly embraced texting like it has been overseas. But clearly, mobile marketing is on the rise. BlackBerry handheld devices are ubiquitous. Everybody wants an iPhone or at least something like the iPhone. I think I saw a commercial the other day, it's like 75,000 applications for the iPhone. So definitely we're going to see more businesses use this and find ways to use it as a channel. Out here in San Francisco, you know, the Oracle Open World is going on this week, and we bumped into a guy, and he was telling me about an application, the iPhone, where you can actually deposit your paycheck through the iPhone. Essentially, you just take a picture of the front and back of the check, and then you press a button, and then it deposits your money without ever having to go to a bank. So that's yet another example of where technology is changing our world. And so from a B2B marketing standpoint, you know, can you develop an app or a plug-in to your product or service that will drive up adoption and make your application more sticky? Or if you're a B2B service provider, how could you use a mobile device for people to engage with you in a more meaningful way? So clearly, I think over the next 5 to 10 years, we will see mobile marketing go on the rise.
And it seems to me that for mobile and text, we're actually seeing some very, very good examples from the B2C world. And I know that you're working with a number of clients around social media, and we have to keep those names confidential because we don't have permission. But maybe you can give us some examples of how some B2C organizations are using social media for demand generation.
Well, I don't think that TD Garden would mind because it really is a good story. And Laura was interviewed a few weeks back on this. And I love the TD Garden and Delaware North. I think just they're very progressive in terms of an organization, and they've got really great people. We have a lot of great clients we work with, but I really have to say that the group of women over there is in a class of its own. And a couple months ago, they renamed the garden up in Boston, and they really wanted to turn what was a public event where people coming down to the arena. They wanted to not take a public offline event and turn it into an online event and use it as a data capture opportunity. So essentially what happened was they did a lottery. 20,000 people waited online to get a chocolate bar, Willy Wonka style. And 5 people of those 20,000 got a golden ticket that gave them a chance to win tickets for all the garden events of the year. The other 19,000 plus got a coupon inside the candy bar that said, text in your email address for a second chance to win. So they got just a little under 1,000 people. It's about a 5% opt-in rate. People sent their email address in over the phone, but of course now it's a 2-for-1. So they were immediately able to use their marketing automation system to email back to them. But they also, because they got the email address through the cell phone, but they also now had the mobile phone, so now they can engage in mobile marketing. And beyond that, what they did was they created a hashtag for Golden Ticket, and they started promoting it on Twitter. And then they started monitoring the brand effectiveness of how many times Golden Ticket was mentioned. And then over the next 2 weeks, they actually captured every single person on Twitter that tweeted about the Golden Ticket. They automatically pulled that data into their marketing automation system, and now they picked up thousands of people through Twitter that were never even at that date, were never never even in line to get a chocolate bar. So that just goes to show you how you start using these channels intelligently. You can reach people that are never there. And you can take what is a single event or a trade show, and you can extend that value, you can extend that brand, you can extend your reach, all the while capturing more data and engaging in, intelligent marketing. And it didn't really take these guys that much more time or effort to put those couple extra steps together. But boy, did it completely change the impact of the campaign.
And I know that at the TD Garden about probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, they launched a communication study. They are trying to find out how their clients, how their prospects, how their fans want to be engaged. Is it through text? Is it through Twitter? Is it through email? Is it by the phone? And that's actually a great piece of advice for anyone looking at engaging in social media. Do your research and find out where your prospects and clients are, and then that'll help you shape your social media strategy.
Oh, absolutely. But especially going back to the preferences, I alluded to this a little bit earlier about list management, preference management. So few marketers, particularly B2B marketers, really take the time to ask people what they want. And that's a big reason why performance has been declining, because we don't ask anybody permission. We just assume that they want to receive what we get. And unfortunately, it really affects your what happens with your performance in your campaigns. And what a lot of people do is what I call polite unsubscribing. So you sign up for something a few weeks back, you don't even remember what it is anymore, it comes to your inbox, and you just delete it, or you move it to some folder to be viewed later, even though you never view it. So because you don't even want to bother to take the time to scan down the email to find the unsubscribe link. But it's having the same effect. And what are we doing as B2B marketers? But we're conditioning people to ignore us, to not listen to us. So social media presents...
Yeah. I love that phrase, polite unsubscribing. That's great.
Well, I mean, so if we have that, though, and we're teaching people to ignore us, then social media is a wake-up call. It's our billboard. It's a way of saying, hello, world, here we are again. Now that we have a second chance, let's not screw it up. Right? But let's go back, because with social media, at least as far as Twitter and Facebook is concerned, that people do have to request permission to follow. And if you can take that approach and even go back to your traditional channels of email and other things, you will definitely see your response rates go up.
I think that's a great piece of advice. So, Jeff, clearly you have been thinking, living, breathing, working with some very innovative clients around how you can actually monetize social media. But what would you say to the company if they're new to social media, maybe the marketer who is just beginning to explore their options?
For starters, just play with it and get to know it. It's not like you can go look on a resume for a Twitter expert, or a Facebook expert, because they've been doing this for 5 years. I mean, this is all a relatively new phenomenon. And anybody that tells you that they're a social media expert, I would run the other way. I would say, if someone asked me, I would say I'm a serious social media tester, right? I'm trying everything in small little pieces to figure out what's working so I can build a body of knowledge. But the medium is changing quickly. So if you're new, you really don't have to worry about it, in the sense that it's not like everybody and your peers have this huge competitive advantage over you who've been doing it for a long time. But you definitely do have to jump in. You should get a Facebook account. You should start getting some friends. You should go sign up for Twitter and start following people and be followed and start testing and doing little things yourself, and then start thinking about, hey, how can I apply these channels to my business? And even if you can do that for the next 3 or 6 months, it's not going to take a lot of time. That in and of itself will have an impact.
So what do you see for change? Because, again, and you made the comment earlier, and I agreed, 12 months ago I wouldn't have given you 2 cents for social media, but now it is so much a part of our current landscape and also our future. So what do you see as changing? I mean, Twitter just all of a sudden burst onto the scene. Are there going to be new applications? Will this market continue to evolve as rapidly as it has in the past 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think that there's apps out there that we haven't even seen yet. But I can see where just the whole customer experience and mobile technology and preferences and segmentation really start to meld together. I think the movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise, where essentially you're walking through a mall and they're doing retina scans and they're doing custom ads for you, that's not as far-fetched. I mean, maybe we're not going to be doing retina scans anytime soon, but the simple fact is that we can start gathering a lot more data and intelligence about people and do something that's relevant and meaningful will have a big impact. And then, of course, there's those that are going to say, oh, my God, that's really Big Brother-ish. I don't know, if that's what we want. But I think people do want it. I think people will get value and they can get the products and services they want, and they feel it's valued, then they will give up the appropriate level of information to get that value. And of course, it does always open up the opportunity for some companies to abuse it, and you're already starting to see people try and spam on Twitter like they spam an email, but that's going to happen with any breakthrough in technology or service. But the good guys are still going to stay on top of it, and they're going to make it work.
Well, I think that, again, it is such an exciting place to be. And, again, to your point, with some of the new applications coming out and the fact that it's here, it's now, we can marry social media as another channel to our marketing automation systems, and then we can create those online relationships in an automated fashion. Clearly the future of demand generation marketing. So, Jeff, thank you so much for being our guest today. Have a great time in San Francisco, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Debbie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.